Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
Around the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a panda for geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid, and even some new friends. Stacy, how are you doing? What are you drinking tonight?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. And I'm drinking water out of my Frankenstein cup.
Oh. Hey, your nails look great. Did you just get your nails done?
Let's say yes.
Sure, why not? Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking there, pal?
I'm doing excellent, but unfortunately I have to work later tonight, so I am just drinking a Polar Seltzer Black Cherry.
Black Cherry? I just found that Polar Soda makes a diet birch beer, and it is fucking delicious. Hmm. I love birch beer. I don't drink it, because I can never find a diet. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking there, pal?
I am an angry guy today, so I am drinking a really nice, my first time ever. It's called At East, a alt beer from Treehouse, and it's oak conditioned. It's very nice.
So an alt beer, so black fingernails, purple hair, what?
Somewhere between like a Mars and an Oktoberfest. You know, it's kind of like nice and chewy and malty and. It's nice. It's a nice comfort beer.
I like a nice comfort beer. I'll ask you what you're angry about later. Just anger.
Fair enough. Just anger.
Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I am drinking some great King Street Scotch by Compass Box. It is delicious.
That's
what are you
great.
Drinking, Tommy? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm actually drinking a Scotch, a whiskey that I found. It's Fire and Ice Whiskey. It's one of the Johnny Walker whiskeys based on the movie, on the TV show Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. And this is the one that comes in the blue bottle with the ice dragon. And it's nice. It's got a nice little finish to it. Not bad at all.
That's the White Walker?
Really?
Yeah, no, it's not the White Walker. It's a different one.
Oh, okay.
The White Dragon. Yeah, and that one's, they made three, and this is the other ones. And by the way, Tommy,
Yeah. Seriously,
whatever you've been dipping the hands and the face of your Mitch McConnell voodoo doll in, for the love of God, stop it, man. The man's been through enough. Fuck. Jesus Christ, man.
What are you talking about? He says he's fine.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Fine.
He's
nothing fine. Wrong.
Keep going then, sir. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Doom Patrol. No good segue there because it's tough to find one. Doom Patrol is terrific. I always liked the comic book. The TV series is a real head trip. You know, harder to find. Not exactly easy to wrap your mind around. Not exactly like the comic book. It's really its own thing. Before we start talking about season two, does everyone like season two? Let's just get into that. Tommy, what'd you think? Did you enjoy it?
I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed season one, but I did enjoy it. It was really very Dorothy-centric.
Yeah, you had to like that character to like the season.
Really had to be all about, you know, the chief's daughter in order to get into the season.
And I think that was one of my problems with it, because the main bad guy is kind of the chief in the second season, you know, coming to terms with everything he did to the Doom Patrol and the previous iterations of the Doom Patrol. So it's kind of hard to hate the chief because we like the chief. So, but we also hate the chief because he is a dick.
He is a dick. Yeah. Sorry, but I think he's the Chief MacGuffin in season two. I'm not sure he's the antagonist.
Okay. I mean, we do know that a bigger bad does appear, of course, But for so much of the season, it's just everyone hating on the Chief, and the Chief, you know, caused all these problems. And he did legitimately cause a lot of problems. You know, we have all that to deal with. Josh, what did you think?
I enjoyed this season more than I enjoyed season one.
Okay.
I agree the overall story arc is less satisfying, but I think the individual stories of the episodes that get pointed to because of the Chief's action are more interesting than the stories in season one.
Now, you love Mr. Nobody for many reasons. We all did. I think we were kind of missing having that big bad to go back to all the time. There were plenty of good villains, plenty of good evil, lots of good at the end. But having that monstrous character lurking in the background all the time, I found more fun for season one. Chase, let's get over to you. What did you think of season two?
You know, I enjoyed season one so much that the first couple of episodes of season two, I wasn't sure that I was going to enjoy it. But I truly, as much as I was in love with the characters from season one, I fell even more in love with them. And the interesting thing to me is every episode of the Doom Patrol, I think going in, I have a favorite character, and by the end of the episode, I have a new favorite character. So, yeah, I loved it.
There really is a little something for everyone to latch on to. You know, if you have any sort of terrible problem, someone in the Doom Patrol is going through that, or dating someone who's going through that, or something. No matter how bad it is, the Doom Patrol probably have it worse, or are going through the same thing. And I love what you just said, saying that you keep having these new great characters, because I didn't think I loved the Negative Man as much as I do now. But some of his interactions during the whole thing is just so crazy good. And I love the fact that, you know, Rita kind of harmlessly flirts with him, and they are genuinely good friends and genuinely, you know, bonded. But he's a gay character, and he doesn't just change that. Unless I missed something, I must admit I didn't watch the entire last two episodes. Unless something crazy changes, he's just a gay man, and they're just friends, and you don't really get to see that as much, you know, a tension like that where it's never going to play out. They mess that up, I think, a lot in TV shows and stuff, where the two characters have to love each other more than they're, you know, really should. That's just a weird take on my part. Mikey, what did you think? Season two.
So are we going into spoilers yet?
I mean, Tom's already spoiled something, so...
Okay, great. So
I spoil.
What?
I spoil.
I think I would say I really enjoyed season two. Yeah, I wish it hadn't gotten cut short because of COVID. However, I will say this. Your thought that there was no big bad in the series is totally wrong. The big bad is the Doom Patrol themselves. They are their own worst enemies.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes this a totally different kind of comic book series than anything else that we get a chance to watch as far as the comic book genre. Because these people, although they are technically heroes, are not heroes, with the exception of possibly Cyborg. Who's really not good at being a hero either.
He really isn't.
He's never going to make the Justice League. I'm just saying.
Not at this rate.
He's not going to make the Justice League. So the Candlemaker, I guess, would be considered the overarching big bad for this season. But I really think it's the Doom Patrol themselves. And I think that's what makes every episode so compelling, because the overriding narrative is these are all flawed, broken people who have come together for – they can't even explain why they're together at this point. They're all the Chief's failed experiments at immortality, yet somehow they still manage to form almost a cohesive family unit, whereas they've pushed – the rest of their family away because of their actions.
Yeah, and it's surprising because you're even hard pressed to understand why they stay. Right. And so through the season, you get little fish hooks as to why everybody's sort of all in, gets this all in it together mentality, where they at some point start to feel more like a family than their families all do. Right. But if you watch season one and even through half of season two, yeah, it's enjoyable to watch these people sort of start to figure out why they're there in the first place.
And I totally agree with you that they are their own worst enemies. They are their own big bad. At first, Calder is the punching bag, but of course, everyone's bringing their own demons to the table to a person. Not a single one gets away with it not being their own worst enemy.
And it mm-hmm. seems like everyone on the team views Cyborg as a hero, that whenever they want to be heroic, they try to team up with Cyborg in this series, in this season, which I enjoyed.
And I think what we did get to see, though, in addressing Josh's thing, at first they were stuck. They couldn't leave each other, right? But when they did have the opportunity, you see why each of them stay, because like Negative Man doesn't have anywhere to go. He has to sleep in that chamber. He needs those bandages in order to survive. Everyone that Rita's ever known is dead, because she's mm-hmm. been around longer than almost everybody except for the Chief and Dorothy. And she stays out of a sense of responsibility to everyone else. She's kind of becoming the mom of the family. And mm-hmm. Robot Man only stays because of Jane. He has mm-hmm. made her his substitute daughter. And Jane, we have no reason why she stays, other than she thinks that Niles can help her and, more importantly, help the kid.
It's all about K for her.
Yeah.
Whatever helps K.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cyborg doesn't even stay. Like, Cyborg leaves for half the season. He's just gone. He just comes back to check in. Yeah, he comes back to check in, goes, has a wacky adventure.
And as a super hot girlfriend in Detroit, man, where are you going to stay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm a superhero. I can commute. All right. I don't know if we want to go episode by episode or we just want to start following the story arc, start talking about characters. I can't wait till we get to the Sex Men. for two big reasons. First off, Flex Mentallo comes back. If it was only about Flex Mentallo, I would have been super happy. But of course, Danny the Tire makes their appearance again. And I love Danny the Street, a.k.a. Danny the Brick, a.k.a. Danny the Tire.
I cannot wait to see Danny the Van.
Oh, I'm not even sure what I want it to be, like a super stretched, cool 70s van, or like a minivan, which, you know, you just walk into and you're in this giant van, or a school bus.
I think it's going to be a Volkswagen van. Yeah. But it's going to be much larger on the inside to fit everybody in it.
Of course. And I'm thinking it was going to be a school bus.
Like Partridge Family kind of school bus? That makes sense.
I was thinking more of Magic School Bus school bus.
Yeah.
It could be like an Astro van.
You're just a monster.
Yeah.
Don't hate you.
So, Sex Patrol is probably one of the best episodes, right? Sex ghosts everywhere.
Yep.
The fact that they
have a lot of
that
trauma.
Linger throughout the rest of the season.
There were a lot more ghosts having sex and baby rats than I expected were going to be in this season.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How creepy was the big bad in that one? A baby being born from a sex demon, and if the baby cries, all the children in the world die.
Yeah.
That is a creepy fucking big bad.
And the way Jane dealt with it was also pretty unorthodox.
That's a pretty standard issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, I would watch an entire spinoff series of The Sex Men.
I want to see Cuddle's origin story. And Torture's origin story, too. And I think they all have a backstory that we really need to explore. That was a great episode, and we find out so much in that episode about what was going on with Dorothy. We find out that Dorothy, for a long time, was held as a virtual prisoner on Danny the Street, underneath the Danny the Street itself, and wasn't allowed to, you know, be with the rest of the Dannysons, which I find horrifying. And that's a long time to be stuck in a room. If COVID has taught me anything, it's that solitary confinement sucks ass. prison reform people, solitary confinement's inhuman. We know now. We get it. We sucked before when we allowed this.
I think some of us got it before, but...
I didn't get it before. I was like, do I want to be in rapey prison or non-rapey prison? Because non-rapey prison seems like solitary confinement. I'd much rather be in a single room for 22 hours a day. That sounds like heaven compared to prison. I was wrong. I'm grown. I know more now. You know what? I've learned something during COVID.
Also, let's not forget about Dr. Time.
Oh, the
Dr. Time was a great character.
With a Y. As the one of the only people here who remember the 70s, I can say that's spot on. Man, the 70s were awesome.
It's got to be Josh's least favorite episode, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
No, there was no time. There was no real time travel. There was a lot of implied time travel.
But no, yeah, I mean, there was more of a pocket dimension than time travel.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
There's nothing for you to hate on, really, in that one.
Yeah. I mean, you could get a pair of those roller skates from anywhere. Yeah. I'm just saying.
How evil is the chief? He just sends them to assassinate this guy and steal his fucking brain.
Yeah. Just rip off the helmet. Wait a minute. That's not a helmet.
And that's not the worst thing he did.
Nope.
It's true. He continues to be the most horrible person in the series.
Well,
just saying that Carol was expendable. That's his wife, man.
The worst thing that everything he did in the service of protecting Dorothy was bad. The worst thing he did in protecting Dorothy was not telling her anything about what happens when she, to put it delicately, becomes a woman. And I think that's a metaphor for a lot of parents who don't talk to especially their female children about growing up. And that was the most beautiful thing to me, was that, you know, as much as I was kind of annoyed at first, like, God, it's just this Dorothy shit again. But then it comes to, you know, the episode where she gets her period for the first time, and then everything starts rolling, and she's terrified because she didn't know. She didn't know anything about that. And I've known women who grew up that way. And to see that on a TV show in the capacity of, like, it also sort of bringing about this huge big bad is like, wow, yeah, that's a hell of a metaphor, but it was awesome.
So the real hero of season two was the woman in the truck stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely it was.
She was certainly one of the few who actually showed genuine kindness.
Yeah.
But that whole sort of metaphor rolls strong, and it's tough to see the chief as a good guy and at the same time he's doing something that's really where it's possible that it could end the world. Like, mm-hmm. if she makes the wrong wish, the world ends, right?
Right.
And so you can see how someone who is a very low on the emotional scale and very high on the mental scale sort of takes those judgments and just broadly paints them for a human being and keeps her captive for her own benefit and the world's benefit and doesn't understand how to do it differently, where, yeah, it's a huge play on captivity and growth and maturity in sort of the world today. And it was an interesting storyline.
It kind of reminds me of the big joke that is Frozen. Oh no, your daughter has these powers and they only come out when she's very emotional. Oh, so we should put her in a loving environment where we teach her about emotions and help her deal with this and give her a toolbox of things to help her deal with emotions. No! You should lock her away and tell her that all emotions are evil. Okay. All right.
It's a different direction.
But hear me out.
It's not smart.
Maybe if we do it
way to go.
Our way, like, no! It did remind me of that a lot. You know, you did it the exact wrong way, Chief. And as thinking, feeling empaths, at least most of us here are, I know, yeah, you guys are all pretty empathic. We know how terrible that is. I was surprised Danny was on board as long as Danny was, being pretty much the most powerful empath that we know of in this universe. They should have got that way before this.
Fair.
Sure.
So Danny's one of the villains, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, at the very least, Danny was complicit.
At the very least, I can say Danny was a little complicit. I mean, I don't know what the chief did or said or held over Danny or how he convinced Danny that this was the only way, but Danny, at the very least, was amenable to the situation, which, in my view, was untenable.
But, I mean, it doesn't sound like Dorothy had a negative time on Danny the Street, because she still viewed Danny as a friend.
Yeah, and Danny would visit her and talk to her because they know that Danny.
As a caretaker.
Yeah, yeah, it's your only friend. Of course, it's a friend.
So,
yeah.
It's a voice in the dark. Like, yeah.
She's a child.
More than one place.
Yeah.
She had, what's the name of the cool giant spider? I like that. Horatio?
Herschel.
Thank you. Sorry, Horatio.
Yeah, I actually know the guy who was the voice of Herschel.
Tell us.
He's a voiceover actor named Brian Stevenson. He's done a lot of animation, and yeah, he was the voice of Herschel. So, it's pretty cool.
Do we know him from cons, or does he live next door?
No, he lives in California. he does convention. I mean, I don't know that he does like convention appearances as as a voiceover actor. He actually runs one of the toy companies that some of my friends do work for. So I know him through he's a toy connection, but I also know his work.
So Ruby, I loved Herschel. I thought Herschel struck a nice balance between, you know, imaginary friend and caregiver and caretaker, and, you know, someone who she could genuinely talk to. And I like the way the Candlemaker drove that wedge between them by saying, those are your little girlfriends. Those are friends for a little girl, not a woman.
Yeah, the Candlemaker kind of felt like peer pressure when you're in middle school and you still want to play with toys. And everybody's telling you, nope, it's time to grow up. You got to start thinking about makeup and clothes and boys and all those things. And some girls aren't ready for that, even as they start, you know, physically changing into more of a grown up.
We have no idea what you're talking about.
I know you don't, but it's fine.
mostly because none of us ever stopped playing with toys. And we know you didn't either.
Oh, I didn't either.
And we're so happy you didn't.
Thank you.
So is anybody else disappointed that Robot Man finally was not the selfish prick that he has always been? And he is so ineffectual at trying to rescue Dorothy. He should have just gone to the fucking wedding, right? We can all agree he should have just gone.
Absolutely.
The internet is aghast with that, by the way. I did a little search. I wanted to see, you know, how people were tweeting about it. And everyone's like, what are you, fucking nuts? Go to the wedding. You can't help.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. By the way, the chief putting ecstasy in his brain tank. Can we talk about that for a second? Like, you could have done that all along. Just at night, every night, like, hey, Chief, I,
At least give him the option for self-dosing, right?
Like, yeah, a little
something in there.
Like a morphine pump, but like...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, except morphine only constipates me and does nothing for me.
Well, I'm
too much information fact for the podcast.
But it's not like it would constipate him.
That's true, yeah.
That's true.
I like the ecstasy idea better because if it does its normal effect, it would probably give the illusion of touch and feel.
One would hope, yeah. Also, it does nothing for me, so.
Ecstasy does nothing for you?
No, I get like this little like jittery buzz for like 3 minutes and it's done.
Well, you must have microdosed, pal.
Nope.
I fucked it cheap.
Not according to the rest of the crowd's web, but.
I made sweet, sweet love to a Jeep. It was consensual, from what I recall.
What, a honk?
Twice. That's the code.
That's the code, man.
Safe word was banana or oil change. Anyway.
Oil change!
It was that check engine light.
I never thought of this before, but what if oil change was the Tin Man safe word?
You're going to tweet that. At the long box, guys.
At the long box, guys.
All right, so time for some trivia. Can you guys tell me the two other comic book adaptations that Timothy Dalton was in?
Timothy Dalton?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Was he in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
He was like a king kind of character, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. There's three. I missed one.
All right, Timothy Dalton. Well, I mean, you're not counting James Bond, right?
No.
Okay.
Counting Flash Gordon?
Ah, there's one.
Yeah. That's the one I was trying to get.
There's like, one other one that you're missing. He was the villain.
The
Rocketeer.
Yes.
Oh, the Rocketeer, yeah.
Ah, Stacy for the win.
Nice.
I said he was like Q. I think he was legitimately M.
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen that film.
Yeah, I think it was M. I like Moriarty. They just called him M in the thing. We'll have our best scholars look that up. In the meantime,
scholars.
Best.
Let's talk about the imaginary friends.
Okay.
All the imaginary friends?
You haven't seen the last episode, have you?
I know, but I know all about it. I did a deep delve because I didn't want you to spoil anything for me. Now, so the Candlemaker makes the imaginary friends of everyone else come to life, and no one seems to think that this is weird.
I love the fact that Cyborg just has a nice long conversation with his imaginary friend. I thought that was brilliant that he just sat down, and the imaginary friend was like, oh, yeah, I'm your friend, buddy. Yeah, I'm always going to be here for you. Hug it out. And then was like, I lied. I'm going to kill you.
I like Cliffs.
Cliffs was my favorite. We got into a fist fight with Jesus.
I was 7 years old. I was at Bible camp.
It was like 6 months.
By the way, I think our best men are back. Josh, did we find out what Timothy Dalton was in there?
No, I was wrong. He was not in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. My bad.
Who was M?
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody who looks a lot like Timothy Dalton.
Someone who looks
a good-looking bastard, that's for certain.
Richard Roxburgh? I don't know who he is. Oh. No,
he looks a lot like Timothy Dalton.
He's somewhat familiar. He looks nothing like Timothy Dalton, but...
You're a dirty liar. Everyone knows it. Jew.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
Save it for the Mel Gibson podcast.
Yeah. Where's Jesus Christ?
No, we were just talking about Jesus.
We were just talking about Jesus.
He's our favorite imaginary friend.
Jesus Christ.
I mean,
you know, that's Sasha like, when I need her. Sasha, come back to the podcast. Throw me a yellow card.
You know what would have been hilarious in that fight, though, is if he had been fighting Jesus. If Jesus had been like ripped his arm off and then punched him and healed him. Because like every time Jesus plays hands on a person, he heals him. So that would have been hilarious.
That is not true. Punching him. That is not true. That is fake news, sir.
It would have been hilarious, though.
I agree it would have been hilarious, but he didn't heal the moneylenders when he whipped him with the nine knotted rope.
He didn't touch him, though.
He didn't touch him. The nine knotted rope touched him.
He didn't touch the guy with a cut off nose either. A sword did it.
And this is the All Religion podcast, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
Hey. And now on Bible Talk.
What happened? Welcome to the Long Judaica.
The Leviticus guys. Stacey, you should not be here.
Shit. I was going to say I shouldn't be here.
I got to get out of here. Somebody let me out of this fucking podcast.
All righty.
I'm a lady. I'm not allowed to talk about Bible stuff.
Who was everybody's favorite character this season? I know, Stacey, it depended on what episode she just saw last.
Favorite character. It's tough.
I can get it together for overall.
My favorite character is Rita Farr. I think Rita, again, like I mentioned, she was the mom, but I love that she's trying out for local theater and not making it. I think that is indicative of her struggles to just get some sort of normalcy in her life, and then her desire to be a hero. And when she finally is able to use her powers, I love her.
I like Cyborg's girlfriend.
She's going to be a villain in season 3. We can all agree on that, right?
She was a
villain in this season.
It's true.
There's so many good characters. I mean, it really is hard to pick a favorite character. You know, he was one of my least favorite characters in the first season, but I really enjoyed every time I had Larry on screen. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Megaman Man.
Yeah, I really liked the stuff with his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larry Trainer. Yeah. Matt Bomer doing a fantastic job as Larry Trainer.
And let's talk a little bit about the actors with no faces in this TV show. They get their character across so well using the limited resources they have left to them.
And I have to say, like, Matt Bomer, he's a beautiful human being. Like, doesn't matter what your orientation is. That man is all looks. And now it's nice to see him. It's not nice. It's regardless. I'm sure he was a great actor before this, but it's definitely a broach of his typical endeavors to see him not using his beautiful man face to get his point across. And
no,
I think he does a
crutch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, nope. That's the whole point. And I very succinctly, Tom.
Yeah, and I really liked him at the party. In the party scene when he's dancing with one of the Danzians, and the Danzian's like, oh, you must be really fit under these bandages. And he's like, yeah, if I take them off, I radiate everyone and they die.
They'll just melt.
It's like everybody's trying to like party it up to like boost Danny, and like Larry Trainer's like, probably, except nobody will know.
So Matthew Zuck is the person playing Negative Man, the guy under the bandages. And Riley Shanahan is the actor playing Robot Man.
No, Matt Bomer is the guy in the bandages.
No. They're the voices. Voice. They're not actually playing those folks.
No. I can tell it's Matt Bomer in the bandages. Matt Zuck, I thought, would be the body shape for the energy outline of Negative Man and the echo voices of Negative Man.
I thought he was actually playing Negative Man.
I don't think so. No, I can rec. No, I watched enough of Matt Bomer's TV shows to recognize him, and I'm fairly certain.
If only we had a magical device that could tell us the answer to this.
Okay, we'll put our best man on it. Now, wait a second. Mike, what about Brendan Fraser?
White Collar. I watched White Collar for years. It's a good show. That's Matt Bomer. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, he's just the voice
Brendan
of Robot.
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah,
he's just the voice? I thought they put
except in the flashbacks.
In the flashback. That's on me. I never thought to look and see if he used a body double for all that. He's got the right shape and all, I mean.
Matthew Zuck. Yeah, it says Matt, there's actually, while Matt embodies the role during Larry's flashbacks, there's actually another actor hidden under the bandages called Matthew Zuck.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
You've been jerking off to the wrong guy.
Seriously. Fuck.
Now there's two guys, now you're gay.
Josh, you want a three-way?
I kept my socks on. I follow the rules.
Well, if you have a crush on one guy, that's just something happened. Like me and
I don't understand. I'm baffled.
I know you've been checking out his body for seasons on White Collar and
presumed. Yeah,
you thought you knew every inch of that lovely man hunk, that refrigerator with a chin. Sorry, I'm doing John Oliver.
Shatter my kneecaps, you man mountain. That's what John Oliver says about Adam Driver. And I have to say, I agree. But that's a whole other podcast. Talk about Adam Driver.
I would like to be on that podcast. I love Adam Driver. Gives so much back to the core. Hoorah.
So let's talk about Crazy Jane for a minute. Who do you think this character that has taken over the body is?
What you mean? Wait, you mean the first time? You mean, are we talking about Miranda? Or are we talking about?
It's not after Miranda's dead. Miranda's in the well. Crazy Jane has found her.
Right.
So there's another.
So somebody's pretending to be Miranda and is in charge.
I think it's the dad.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? That makes it super bad. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring everyone down, but that's who I think it is.
Yeah. I'm going to say no on that.
I'm hoping not, actually. It's my theory. I'm like,
all the personalities are constructs, right?
Right.
So the question is, what is the construct of Miranda?
And who would kill another construct, though, except Daddy?
Yeah, because, you know, she has crazy powers. Who knows if she can just absorb people?
I guess it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she could literally have absorbed her dad and locked him away in her figurative well inside her brain at the end of the station.
And he's no longer trapped down there because she's in there.
Oh my God, this is so meta.
Yeah.
It's hurting my brain.
You know, dads don't really fare well in the show. I mean, they most everybody in the show who's a dad is at some point a shitty dad.
Have you met dads? I've only met like two good ones.
Every dad in the show is a shitty dad.
That's in a world where men are set up for failure as parents, it's hard to find good ones.
Cliff's trying to be better.
They're all trying to be better.
Trying to be better.
They just fail at it.
The chief thinks he's a good dad, but he isn't.
Oh, definitely not.
Cliff knows he's not a good dad and he's trying to be better.
I think
Cyborg's
think
dad is kind of like the chief.
But I mean, really, the only one that has a chance of being a good dad is Larry's son. And that's because we just don't know about his family yet.
Larry's son? No, Larry's son tried to lock him up and almost got his son killed.
Right, but we don't know as a dad if he's a good dad or not. I mean,
well, he's a shitty son.
Who knows about Ricochet? Well, it's definitely a shitty son. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can get that one out of the way pretty quick. Right.
All right. So let's get. Did you guys already rate this 3 to 18?
No,
3 to 18 yet. It's a good one, Mikey. 16. And if we actually had the end of the season, no thanks a lot, COVID, it probably would have been an 18. Next. Josh,
I'm
going to
give it a 15. I'm going for the 1.5. I'm right there with you. There were a couple of elements missing for me. And like I said, I thought the overall story arch was a little weaker than season one. The individual episodes are better. I'm going with a 15.
All right, Tommy, you're up.
I'm going with a 15 also. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more Space Patrol.
Those guys were great.
Stace, how about you, my friend?
I'm going to go... I'm also going to go 16. And mainly just because I wanted more. But yeah, I'm like you. I think it probably would have been 18 if we got in the full season. But that was definitely higher than I expected to rank it when I started watching it.
Yeah, it was a slow burn. We can agree on that, right?
For sure.
Like, yes. It ramped up nice. If this was a movie, it would have been almost the perfect pace.
As a
TV show, it kind of left me wanting at some of the end of the episodes.
I'm going to rate it as a 16 also. But I think the problem was... all of these episodes individually are really, really good. But we don't, mm-hmm. like Josh said, it's not that cohesive. It just seems like I could just pick any episode of this season and just start watching it and figure out what was going on and just enjoy all the madcap characters that just get introduced. This villain here, this villain there. There were so many villains in this season, right? It just seemed like, oh, here's another villain. Oh, no, now they're fighting the queen of bad ideas. What was her name?
The Scan Queen? Uma something?
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like they bounced around from so many different villains that made it feel disjointed, even though it was one entire season.
Yeah, as a side note, if we ever come into a gridlock where we've got more than one person going for 18, we're going old school. We're going back to first edition, and then you're going to have to go strength percentile after that. I'm just saying.
Works for me.
That's right. If you don't know old school D&D, fucking look it up.
Look it up.
I don't know if anybody saw my tweet today about the Bone Devil. Some guy posted like the old stats for the Bone Devil from first edition, and his damage for his attack was 3 to 12. I'm like, is it 3d4 or 1d10 plus 2? You don't know. You don't fucking know. They don't tell you.
You gotta figure that shit out.
That's damage. Figure that shit out yourself. What percentages do you like?
You're a math major. You do it. Not a math major? Fuck off. Go find one.
Yeah.
You gotta hit
math, bitch.
Man, this is old school D&D. You can't just look it up on a magic box. You gotta go to a library. You gotta ask someone for help. Sorry. Anyone have any last words on the Doom Patrol? Last words, guys.
Did everybody rank? Oh, okay. Just making sure.
So overall, we all thought it was between 15 and 16, right?
Yeah. I like Tigers.
15.5.
You think it's going to get season 3 on HBO Max, right?
Absolutely.
Is everything
going to
be on HBO Max now? Fuck.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Well, yeah. They've announced there's going to be a Green Lantern show on HBO Max.
Oh, well, someone's excited by that. No way.
I like the animated
series. Nobody here.
What are you talking about? It's going to be awesome, and let me tell you why. Because Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, and Simon Baz are going to be the three Green Lanterns. And Alan Scott. And I know what you're thinking. One of these guys is not like the other. Yeah, Alan Scott is not a real member of the Green Lantern Corps, even though he's the original Green Lantern. So I don't know what the fuck they're thinking, but that's what they announced. So we'll see what happens.
Isn't Dennis Leary a little old? Damn it! Guy Gardner. Damn it! I don't We're know. Saying the same joke at the same time!
It's because you're married.
Good. Dennis Leary is getting too old to play Guy Gardner, but he would have been perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, they're going to have a Peacemaker TV show.
Why?
John Cena's playing Peacemaker, and he's got nothing else to do. That's
James
why.
Gunn.
I'll reiterate the question.
James Gunn is writing the series because he is stuck at home, bored, and is like, let me just write a TV show.
One more time.
You're gonna fucking love the Peacemaker. You're gonna be the number one Peacemaker fan after you see the Suicide Squad. You're gonna be like, Mike, you got any comics I can read? And I'll be like, yeah, I got all the Peacemaker comics, but you can't read them because of that moment back on the Doom Patrol episode where you shat all over John Cena.
How can you shit all over something you can't see?
Nice reference, Stace. And with that, let's go to the front of the long box. Mikey, get some good at the front of the long box?
Yeah, at the front of the long box, I have Rorschach number one.
I just got that.
Oh, excellent.
Spoil it.
It is a – I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm going to preview it for you. If you like noir, I think you're going to enjoy the Rorschach comic. It is a mystery set in the Watchmen universe. A person dressed like Rorschach is behind an attempted assassination on the Republican candidate for president. And it spirals out from there. But like all good noir stories, you're trying to figure out what's going on from the get-go.
Excellent. I can't wait to get it. I saw number one. Since I bought it at my comic book shop, Mikey, what issue are we up to?
It is number one, just came out a week ago. So
right, I got number one.
Unlike okay. Marauders number one, which came out a year ago, this is actually the number one.
There were so many variants of that cover, by the way.
Yes. Yes, there were.
There were like nine variants just in the stack I was looking through, and I kept going, well, one of these must be number two.
Nope.
And they weren't even like close. They were like totally different artists, totally different genres, totally different types. Like, all right.
But you know what, Tom? If you'd bought all the different variants and five more books, your comic book store would have held those for you.
Thanks to Win with Comics.
That's what you should do. Be like, well, I'm just going to take Rorschach. Just give me all the variant covers. And they'd be like, not enough, bro. Not enough, bro.
Bro.
14 unique titles.
Why are you even bothering talking to me, bro? Tommy, you got anything in the back of the long box?
I'm going back to my roots. I'm going to recommend Iron Man 2012 to 2014 series from Marvel by Kieran Gillen. Did the writing. When I first started reading this series, I was a little upset because in it, the Rigelian Recorder 451 was influencing Tony Stark's origin in that he made it possible for Tony Stark to be born because Tony Stark's dad and mom were having trouble conceiving and carrying a baby to term. And so he altered the DNA and manipulated the DNA so that Tony Stark, in theory, could be born. But as the story progressed along, you find out that it wasn't really Tony Stark that was born. It was Tony's brother, Arno, that was manipulated. So initially, I was a little upset because Iron Man, to me, was always a self-made hero, much in the way that Batman was. You know, he created all the gear himself and did the heroics all on his own and was always quick thinking and getting himself out of the tight spots that he got himself into. And that was always part of his allure for me. Yes, Tom?
Who the fuck is Arno?
Tony Stark's brother.
I've never heard of Tony Stark having a brother.
He's an accountant. West Cleveland. You know, nice guy. Small business.
You look right past him if you didn't know.
You can look right past him, man.
So, LT, tell everybody who Arno is.
I honestly have
So, Arno Stark is Tony Stark's brother. He was kind of hidden from public. And in this series, he has a bunch of genetic problems because he was supposed to only have a 30-year lifespan, and that's what the Rigelian Recorder kind of manipulated him towards, and he had one specific purpose, and it was to be a pilot for this celestial armor that could kill off the Celestials. It was a god killer. But they hid Arno away, and Tony Stark's dad had actually looked at the gene sequences and knew enough about the genetic manipulation to change some of that to delete the 30-year sort of end date on his life, but it created some other deficiencies in his physicality, and he had to live in an iron lung. So they hid Arno away, and they had adopted Tony unbeknownst to everyone, including Tony Stark. And in this storyline, it goes through all of that, and it kind of messes up the Rigelian Recorder's sort of master plan, because he has Tony Stark, and he thinks that Tony Stark is going to be able to pilot this armor for him because he's manipulated his DNA and such, and when he goes to put Tony Stark in a situation to do that, it doesn't work. And it's a good series. It's a pretty good series from 2012, 2014. A lot happens in it. So I recommend you go back and check out that series if you, you know, want to read about 500 or 600 pages of a good Iron Man story.
I kind of want to read it now.
you should.
That's so different from anything else I've ever read.
It's good.
In my little section where I usually do something about civil rights and social justice, I do want to have just mention a comic book I just found, and it is one of the very first ever handicapped heroes in a comic book, and it is Captain Storm. Has anyone ever heard of Captain Storm? PT crew boat driver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're all right. So what, do you remember what his, what he had to overcome?
No.
He had a wooden leg.
He was a Golden Age guy, right?
Yep. We're going all the way back to Jesus Christ. We're going way back. Golden Age issue number one comes out in what year? 1964.
Oh, so he's a Silver Age.
Silver Age. So yeah, 64. Captain Storm, PT boat skipper, kind of looks a little bit like looks a little bit like a Kennedy, if you ask me. And he's a PT boat skipper. He lost his leg, but the Navy needed him because he was such a good skipper, so they allowed him to have this wooden leg. And the wooden leg comes into play all the time, including beating up Japanese with it as a club, which I think is cool. Also fooling his Japanese captors once who were torturing his wooden leg, and they didn't know it was a wooden leg. That's my favorite one. How do you like this, Yankee? And they stab it. He's like, oh!
Just so you know, it's set in World War II.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just random Japanese people in 1964 that he's fighting.
Oh, random Japanese people. And I think at one point he tricks him into setting his wooden leg on fire, knowing it'll
signal
burn.
Someone offshore.
It'll burn like a big log. And set off the fire extinguishers above him, causing enough ruckus for him to escape. So it's over the top and stupid, but it does show someone who has a physical handicap to overcome in the military and as being the hero and always overcoming that thing. So Captain Storm, PT boat skipper, give it a look. This one sailed under my radar and hopefully won't sail under yours. Stace, what do you got in your toy box? Yeah. I see you already holding it.
Yeah, since 'tis the season for Halloween. Yeah, so I have these Imperial monsters. And so if you're not familiar with Imperial, they were a company, I mean, I think they're still around, but in the 80s, they did a lot of knockoff toys. Like they did some like beasts that were compatible with Masters of the Universe. There were Godzilla, like a couple of knockoff Godzilla toys they made, but they made these universal monsters, and I love them. One, because they're huge and you could really kill somebody with them because they're pretty solid. But they have these weird poses. Like, he looks like he's ready to play keyboard.
And, he does look like Elton John, yeah.
And also he has a pinky ring, which I think is awesome. You don't see that on toys.
Are you sure he isn't just going to the manicurist? I'd like to get my nails done.
Yeah. Well, he looks like he's doing stand-up.
Like, the Wolfman does look like he's doing stand-up.
Full moon.
Jazz hands, Wolfman. I once caught a fish this big.
What's the deal with pitchforks?
Yeah.
Are they really using these things for hay?
Speaking of big hands, Frankie's got some big hands and big shoes. And then this is the mummy, but he really just looks like an accident victim. It looks like he's just in a full body cast. So he's not ready. He's like, hey, I'm super injured. Hey.
Oil change.
Yeah. Oil change. Yeah. Aerial monsters. They're awesome.
And hey, what year were those?
These were from 1986.
Alright. So there's really no excuse for those really awful hands.
No. Well, the fact that they're cheap toys, that's the excuse.
Alright. I do kind of like the way they look, too. And you say they're solid, like, they're solid is what you're saying when you say you can kill someone with them.
Yeah, they have 3 points of articulation. They have arm articulation and head articulation, and then the rest is just kind of a solid slug of plastic. But he's a little bit more lightweight, but, like, Dracula, he's heavy. He's very heavy. I don't know why he's so heavy, but, yeah.
And the pinky ring, by the way, signifies that he's a self-made monster.
He is, yeah. He really is.
He's in the Monster Mafia. He's done two hits. You get the pinky ring, you're set.
He's European. They wear pinky rings, I guess.
Pinky rings.
And all the rage in Transylvania. Yeah.
Those of you who are angry that we're making fun of pinky rings, go ahead and tweet us at the Long Box Guys.
Currently on our Twitter feed, we've been talking about peanut butter this week. A professional wrestler named the Savage Gentleman asked what the best peanut butter was, and I said Teddy Peanut Butter here in beautiful Massachusetts, one of the best peanut butters ever. Plus, they give a shit ton of peanut butter away. Not only did Savage Gentleman say he loves Teddy, but Teddy responded, "Hey, always happy to help, and we'll send you more peanut butter." So thanks, Teddy. They sent me more peanut butter, and I'm like, you should get the Savage Gentleman as your spokesman. Like, Savage Gentleman preferred Teddy Peanut Butter. And they're like, you know what? That's not bad. I hope that happens. If that happens, I'll be so happy. but yes, please do tweet us. We tweet about way more than just peanut butter. Earlier this week, we talked a lot about what we used to do for magic cards. And Tim, just having three Tims or four Tims in your deck came up a lot. So we talked a little bit of old school magic. We talk about all kinds of weird stuff. So just jump on there. The Long Box Guys on Twitter. You'll find us. We're there. And if you'd like to get another podcast, we also have our Patreon-only podcast at patreon.com/or/TheLongBoxGuys for a mere $1 a month.
What?
$1 a month?
Are you crazy?
$1 a month. Less than four Rolos. Because you can't even buy Rolos for $1. A pack of Rolos is like $1.20 now.
Wait, hold on. They still make Rolos?
Spoiler, yeah.
Yeah.
Rolos are still around. You can't get the old school whatchamacallits anymore. They have this new whatchamacallit that suck. But you can still get the old Rolo, and they're delicious.
Oh, my God. Has anybody had the pumpkin spice Hostess cupcake?
No, because we're not monsters.
It's fucking delicious. Oh, my God. It is so good. It is so good. You will taste it, and you will fucking love it.
Is it vegan?
Sure, why not?
No, it's not.
That's too bad.
Sure, why not?
As far as I know.
I'll still try it. My wife won't. She likes everything pumpkin.
As far as I know. As far as I can tell.
All right.
I didn't taste any meat in it.
Sure.
I'm surprised. I'm still surprised to this day that Oreos are vegan.
And Pez.
And Pez. And Swedish Fish.
Mm. And Twizzlers.
And Twizzlers, yep. These are all the candies I can have in the bowl over there.
And
the
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, just don't do it with licorice because licorice kills kids.
Yeah. And cats, I hear.
Pretty much everyone if you don't eat too much of it.
Yeah. Good. Fuck the world. Let's burn this bitch down.
It's licorice.
2020 has got me over the fucking barrel. I don't care anymore.
Awful.
Hey, just so you know, I have more court experience than the new Supreme Court justice.
Congratulations.
She had some time as private when she was in a private practice.
I'm tacking an actual criminal trial. I have more experience and time.
Damn it.
I wouldn't doubt that. I don't doubt that. It's a fact. That kid
can't doubt it.
Facts.
She's so likable. She is.
Anyway.
Have you seen her family? Her family's adorable. She's adopted like 6 kids. She's a staunch altruist.
Yeah. Altruist? She is. I am not besmirching her character at all. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want her to be a judge.
I should be a Supreme Court judge. Because I got a lot more experience. Josh, my friend. Can you do a tangent for us?
Yeah, so Tom had mentioned an actor before, and now it slips my mind, but it reminded me of people or actors that you sort of have this strange dichotomy about. Like, you either have this very old image of them where they became a favorite of yours, and then either you didn't realize it was them, and years later you found them in another role, or vice versa. So either you find them as a modern actor and then realize you love them in an old film, or you love them in an old film and you finally realize they're in like this new film and you just kind of didn't realize it and you've got this schism, but they're just awesome in both their roles. Does anybody feel what I'm putting down here?
I had no idea. Oliphant. Timothy Oliphant was in anything but the old Hitman movie, which I loved. I love the original Hitman movie.
He's in season 4 of Fargo.
Yeah.
He's also the lead in Justified, which is a great
And Justified, which is like a super popular thing. And then he was a voice on
Justified was great.
And then he was a voice on Archer, which I really enjoyed that voice. He was great in that. And every time I see him, I'm like, oh yeah, it's the Hitman. And people are like, shut the fuck up. You cannot know him from that. And that's legitimately what I know him from. Like, yeah. I can't get it out of my brain.
And I'm sorry, and, Tom, that when that sentence has been said to you, holy shit, I can't believe that's who you fucking know him from. That, you know, 127 times out of 131 times, that was me.
Yeah, 100%.
Advance for that.
That's just what I know that guy from.
All right.
He was really good in Santa Clarita Diet, too. He was hilarious. Yeah,
I didn't know that was him because he didn't have a shaved head. And he wasn't killing people. I watched that entire first season, and someone goes, that's that guy you like. I'm like, fuck off. That wimp? That 2 degrees away from cuckold? No.
He also did a few episodes of The Office. If you have seen everything else of his and you need something, there are episodes of The Office that he's in.
Hey, if you're desperate to see... excuse me, I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah, you're desperate to hear the ends of sentences. You're fucked.
So I love Walter, Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins.
If you're wondering who he is, he was in Justified and The Shield.
Mm-hmm. Vice Principals.
Yeah, everything he's in, he is phenomenal. But...
Yeah.
When I was rewatching Community, I was like, holy shit, it's him. Because I never made the connection. He is the guy giving out Chevy Chase's character's semen to everybody.
Oh, my. He is. Yep.
He's in a lot of stuff. And honestly, this literally has to be the first time I have heard that guy's name. Because how could you forget that name?
Right.
Like, he is in everything. And I love him in everything.
He is just phenomenal.
Justified as the bad guy forever, and Walton Goggins.
Yes.
Holy shit, that's a name. Way to go, Walton.
Yeah. His character on The Righteous Gemstones is so good.
Wait, The Righteous Gemstones?
Yeah, you're just saying what? Yeah. Talking about?
No.
You guys haven't seen The Righteous Gemstones?
No.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
HBO series. Yeah, no. It's Danny McBride, Walton Goggins, John Goodman.
You keep on saying names of actors I love, but I still don't know what you're talking about.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's basically a show about a family who's like televangelists and like just how awful they are.
Oh, okay, all right. Now I know what you're talking about.
It's hilarious. Like it's really good.
I only know Walter Goggins from The Unicorn
on CBS.
I watched some of those.
I've seen a couple episodes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not what I know Walton Goggins from.
No.
I think I know from The Shield.
Yeah. For me, it was Justified. He was on every, I mean, essentially every episode of Justified, so.
Yeah. By the way, I was going to say, Quentin Tarantino and Jeff Goldblum, what do they have in common for an old TV show? Hands up!
TV show.
Anybody? They were in a TV show together, and I was watching. I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking Jeff Goldblum and... fucking Quentin Tarantino.
Wait. In the same episode?
In the same episode.
Okay, I have a guess, but...
Go ahead.
Golden Girls?
No. Tarantino was on Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Tarantino, he was an Elvis impersonator.
There you go. He was an Elvis impersonator. Laverne and Shirley, they show up and take the girls out for a date.
Holy, what the?
God damn it, Laverne and Shirley, you are punching up. You two bitches are punching the fuck up if you're pulling down Jeff Goldblum and Tarantino.
How the...
Jeff Goldblum.
How are my headphones still on? Because you just fucking blew my mind.
Look it up if you have to. I might be wrong. I don't think I am.
So for me, the actor was Peter Cushing was my big one. Because for a long time, I loved the Hammer films, and for some reason, I never made the connection to Grand Moff Tarkin when I saw Star Wars.
You know how old I was? This old. I did not get that. I did not get that was the same Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it now. As soon as you said it, I'm like, yeah, it's Peter Cushing. He was in everything.
All the fucking Hammer films. Yeah, he was, what's his name? The Vampire Hunter. And then Grand Moff Tarkin.
He wasn't the best vampire hunter on the Hammer films. He wasn't Kronos vampire hunter, but he was...
It's not Kronos,
Yeah. Man, I almost wore my Kronos shirt. I wish I had
that. Do you have a Captain Kronos shirt?
I do.
Have you watched
that recently? A friend of a friend made it.
I didn't think they were sweet production. I should have known.
It's a super bootleg shirt, yeah. But yeah, I've seen the Hammer films. Vincent Price is like that for me, because the first thing I remember Vincent Price from was Thriller. And it was like, I really like his voice.
My God.
And then Thriller came out.
Yeah.
Tom. You couldn't even say Scooby-Doo Mysteries? God damn it.
So I remember that, and then slowly built up to watching movie like the old monster movies with Vincent Price, and that's kind of how I became a horror movie fanatic.
Vincent Price, you mean the bad guy from that episode of the Brady Bunch when they went to Hawaii? Yeah, it's the same guy.
Or that episode of the Muppet Show, or was it Sesame Street, where Kermit was a vampire?
Yeah, that's right. Also, the Muppet Uncle Deadly is based off of
Vincent
Price.
So mine is James Marsden. Because he keeps showing up in stuff that I watch, like Westworld and Dead to Me, and you know, and we were watching it, and I was just like, I know that I knew him before all of this new stuff. What was it? And I completely forgot that he was Cyclops in X-Men. So,
are you looking forward to The Stand?
I actually, I saw the trailer for it yesterday. It looks all right.
In the trailer.
The only one who's going to be able to watch it is Tom, because he has a CBS All Access.
It's true.
I still have it, because we're watching Discovery right now.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah. LT, you blew through your 7-day free trial, right?
A 30-day, yeah.
30-day, okay. What were you trying to watch? All of Blue Bloods? You know that's available.
Yeah. I only got to season 9.
That's okay. It's on Hulu for free.
It's only up to season 9. Damn you!
Is it Tom Selleck that drives you to that, or Mark Wahlberg? What's going on?
It's another procedural.
Okay. I blew my load on those two actors. I didn't even know if those both were in Blue Bloods.
They are.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I've seen commercials.
One of the Wahlbergs and Tom Selleck. All Wahlbergs look alike to me.
It's Donnie, right? It is Donnie.
It's gotta be.
Yeah, it's not Mark. Yeah. It's Donnie.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. I know it is because that's one of my dad's favorite shows, and I was giving him a hard time about it because he used to make fun of how much I love New Kids on the Block. And I was like, well, now your favorite show has one of the New Kids on the Block on it. So
yeah, he always has a cheeseburger in his hand. So,
so fuck off, old man.
From a product placement thing.
Yeah, our Wahlburgers closed down, and then he's so sad.
Yeah, it's not really. Really?
Yeah. No, they made a great veggie burger. She loved their veggie burgers.
Oh, okay. Because their regular burgers were not great.
They were nothing to rave about.
No. Sorry, Wahlburger.
I mean, I've eaten a lot of them. Them,
but your burgers were fucking not great.
We ate there once with Bill, and this was not great.
Not great.
Let's just say...
kind of hard to mess up a burger.
They are not the Walton Goggins of burgers, that's for sure.
They are not. Yeah. Far and away. Not the Walter Goggins of burgers.
We need to get Walter Goggins on this fucking podcast because...
Yeah.
Tom, make it happen. Josh, you got it?
Yeah, I'm taking Josh this. I'm picking up the... Yeah. So if anybody drops this flag, I'm picking it up and I'm fucking running it till I'm dead. I'm going to get Walter Goggins on his
Walton.
Die on that hill, buddy.
Yeah, I should get his name right first.
Yeah, that's probably important.
Dear Walter Goggins.
Dear Walter Goggins.
Walter Groggins.
Dear Walter Groggins.
Dear Bilbo Baggins.
Dear Kenny Loggins.
Dear Susan. Now you're just doing this on purpose.
Nice way to bring it around, guys. Do we got plugs?
Anyone?
The tank, the TV, the cartoon. Yeah. Come on, man.
Cartoon.
I know that one. And who did he say it to?
Thrakazog.
Thrakazog. It's kind of a hard name. Like, it's not Kamala Harris. I mean, if you get that wrong, you are a racist. Pence gets it wrong just to be a dick. But Thrakazog, I mean, you got to get the right at the end. It's tough. Yeah. Tough. Still, though, I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right now. So who's got some plugs for us?
I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at KirbyCracklemusic.com.
Thank you, Kirby Crackle. Everything you do is great. I'd like to make a quick shout-out to Pensacon. This weekend, they're doing their Halloween festival. We've reached out to Steve Wise, the great guy that does Pensacon every year. And we've been talking about next year already. So hopefully, if the plague lifts, we'll all get down to Florida and have a great time seeing each other face-to-face.
Absolutely. I already reserved our Airbnb.
I love that Airbnb. Stacey, I can't wait for you to come down to that Airbnb. You and your lovely husband. You have a great time with us. Tommy, what do you get to plug?
I'd like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com. GeekOrthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
Beat.
Damn it, Stacey.
God damn it, Stacey.
I'm sorry.
Just say like, bye or something.
Come on. You could be bye. Like, hello, Ian. No, but nothing.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyors of fine t-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, socks, baseball caps, you name it, they got it. GeekOrthodox.com.
Josh, anything to plug for us, everybody?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little self-promo. I relaunched beertube.com this week, put a video up. I hadn't done anything for that in a while. So go up and see my latest beer review on beertube.com.
Well, that's because one of your doctors tricked you into thinking that beer was poison now.
Yeah.
Dicks. Dicks. Stace, you're on a dozen different great podcasts. You want to plug a couple?
Dozens.
Dozens. No, it's like literally three. But yeah, so I'll plug the retronetwork.com. I actually am writing a feature for them for Halloween that is monster themed, monster toy themed, actually. And should be, we just dropped a Situation Jukebox, which is our Retro Network game night. And then we've got a couple coming up for the holidays as well.
Terrific. Where can we find those?
TheRetroNetwork.com.
RetroNetwork.com. We'll certainly be going there. I think that's everything, guys.
I'd like to thank Walton Goggins for being in 1994's The Next Karate Kid.
Was he in that? What was his character? Was he a good guy, bad guy?
He was Charlie in The Next Karate Kid, and I don't know. I've never seen The Next Karate Kid, but I will now because Walton fucking Goggins, I presume, is the star of it.
That's right. Stan Roberts in The Crow Salvation.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotta remember that.
I just picked it out of the blue. But Walton, I'm talking to you now directly. I know you're listening. I know you want to be on the show. Just contact us directly at the Longbox Guys on Twitter. Find us. DM Tom. We'll all just get together and have a grand old time because I know in my deepest heart you're listening right now.
We definitely want to find out more about Beyond the Prairie Part 2, the true story of Laura Ingalls Wilder, because he starred as Almanzo Wilder in that.
That is a great sexual predator name.
You can't spell Almanzo without Monzo.
Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. Got any words of wisdom for us?
It's like the universe is saying, let's get rid of Mitch McConnell one hand at a time.
And Josh, your beautiful new house.
No, my sector this week is Walton Goggins' pool house. Hey, Walton, I'm definitely watching you.
I'm in the pool house. And Stace, got some words of wisdom for us?
Well, a couple things. One, this is like sitting at the cool kids table. Two, vote. That's it.
Yeah, fucking vote.
That is two things. I'm glad we're the cool kids. Yay. Yeah. Love that.
Oh, yeah, you are.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live a lot longer. Thank you from all of us here at The Longbox, guys.